it's not that cold. It's really great to be back. Me and Maritza and the kids, we had a two Sundays, but 1 week break. We had a bit of holiday. We went to our family there, close to Leonardville in the south. We really enjoyed it, and it was just wonderful again to see our beautiful country and to drive past, you know, and just to see everywhere the water, or just if you go past Dordabas, you'll still see the water standing, and it was just amazing to see, you know, that's still standing there in the middle of early June after the wonderful rains that we have. So it's really great to have you guys here. Maybe I must do a bit of repenting. I see Blanche here, and when I saw in the week, she said, "Pastor, how could you go? I didn't give permission." So I'll have to repent on our family's behalf. But Blanche, thank you for allowing us as well to go. I don't know. Thank you, Reinhold, as well for encouraging people and school as well. When I was standing here, I almost thought it was the 12th of December and not June. So I don't know where the rest of our flock is this morning, but I trust they are blessed as well. One person I definitely want to say a big congratulations to is, I guess most of you will know by now, that Aaron and Krista, their baby daughter, were born on Tuesday morning. And that's really something that I'm so glad for them. It's, I think she weighed 3.3. That is amazing. And then I also see Nudia and Karina here. Nudia, are your shoulders a bit broader? I don't want to speak out of my place. Can I share? Okay, there's another pregnancy in the house, so we are multiplying that way as well. So congratulations to you. And then even if Henning and Marisa isn't here this morning, I know it's only about four more weeks for them to go, and then there will be another baby. I don't know why, but maybe there's more people in the mother's room than right here this morning, but I trust that that it will change next week, that all our sheep will come to the sheep house or to the kraal. Then I just want to say a big thank you. David also isn't here, but a big thank you to him and to Paul Buta. They did the preaching while we were away. I asked Paul a while ago if he gave the people the week off, but he said no. That's why I believe next week our friends will be all here again. So thanks a lot to you guys. Then I just want to, please guys, we really need your help in this. For the SOS, the School of the Supernatural, at the end of June, beginning of July, the date was announced right now. The guys in Swakopmund, they are going to help us with accommodation. Okay, so we're going to drive through with the church bus and extra transport, depending on how many people will go. I haven't done it myself, but the School of Supernatural, that's basically for evangelism, where we really trust in God to show us that we can flow in the gifts. That's Pastor C.S. LaRue's anointing. So I really want you guys to encourage you, all friends that aren't here this morning, please give up your names that we can have the amount of people from Windhoek's side that want to go to Swakop. We'll probably leave the Saturday morning early. And then we'll sleep over the Saturday night. Sunday morning we'll attend church there. There will be an evangelism outreach that morning in terms of church. And then after that we'll come back. And in the evening, Pastor Sias will be preaching here in Windhoek. So there will possibly be church twice that day, the early in the morning and then in the afternoon. Then another thing that I just want to hold before you, maybe you can start to look at your diaries as well, is the Shofar Conference. Now, this will be the first Shofar Conference in many years. It will be at the end of September, I think the 30, and then the first 2 days of October. It will be in Stellenbosch in South Africa. We're definitely going to make an effort and try our best for a group of us to go down there. At this stage, there's a few confirmed international speakers, and I really believe where our body can, as the show for vision, that we can all come together, thank you Prisca, and really be, that we can be, you know, as a family come together and be built, you know, up there. I really believe it will be a blessing, so I'm just holding it before you. Please put it in your diaries. We're going to see closer to the time who will be going. The church bus will definitely be going, and the Holtz bus will also be going. If there's any other buses in the house that is willing to go, we will appreciate it. But I really believe it will be a blessing. It will be the first for a long time. And please see if you can make it. And then I just want to invite, ask you guys, that evening when Pastor Sias is here, please make a point. I just read one pastor testifying in the week where he said, you know, if you keep on inviting two people to church, you know, sometime one of them will come. So please make an effort and invite your friends, invite people to that Sunday evening. Pastor Sias, it's really, I've basically grown up in ministry under his hand, and I really believe, like last year when he was here, that it will be a blessing for all of us. So I think that concludes my announcements. So I just want to share a little bit, and you can go and read it in the Shofar newsletter. I just want to ask, how many of you read the Shofar newsletter, the Shofar Global newsletter? Can I just, by the show of hands, see how many of you? Give your hands, please. Not all of you. We'll have to make an effort that all of you can read it. It's really a blessing. That's basically, let's call it family news of our Shofar churches, what's happening, where's planting, who's moving on, changes in leadership. And also Pastor Fred always shares his heart in that. He gives a bit of vision. So I really want to encourage you guys, if you don't get it, we try to forward it in terms of email to most of you. If you don't receive it currently, or you don't have an email account set up yet, especially for you younger people, please speak to Scholar afterwards, that we can make a copy, we can print it out for you, make some effort. But just something I want to share with you. Maybe some of you have thought about it as well. This is not really my sermon. It's just something that I want to share with you. Now, maybe you've seen the boards here in Windhoek, Pastor Harold Camping from California of the Family Radio International. You know, I think they said the end of the world will be at the, I think, what was it, the 12th of May or some date. You would have seen it in the newspapers. And currently a lot of people, you will see, they are looking to Nostradamus or to the Bible or to what, the Mayan calendar. And we all know about the earthquakes. There's rumors of war in the Middle East and in Africa. There's a lot of things happening, floods and droughts. We've experienced it ourselves here in Namibia. But you know, once again, I think we as Christians, as faithful Christians, stand and we feel a bit ashamed that people that call themselves Christians, he predicted the end of the world in 1994 as well, and I believe he's got some egg on his face today, why it didn't happen. And I just want to share one or two thoughts on that, because maybe people are asking you questions about it, and maybe you're thinking about it yourself. I think if we go and read the book of Revelation, that's probably one of the books in scripture that is the most disagreement on a way where scholars differ. Will it be first this and then that and then the rapture and then this? And I think not many of us, just from our, let's say, off by heart, can say exactly how things will happen. And one thing that we know for certain is that we will not be able to know the date. Jesus Christ himself said that there is only the Father that know, not even the angels will know. So if someone come and tell you this day, that month, this year, then you know it's heresy, it's nonsense. And I believe it's really doing much more a bad thing to our Christian cause, you know. And I'm going to talk about vision this morning. And it's really where people say, oh, that Christians again, they are going to be raptured. You know, some people that's a bit arrogant, they think like that again. And I believe it's really not helping us. So the one thing that I want to tell you this morning is, you know, if you see billboards like that, I think we should just even pray that it be removed, because it's really not a blessing for our cause. And then secondly, something that we can see, you know, there's many times people will, when we talk about the end times and, you know, about things moving on, some people get afraid. Maybe you have been recently in conversations like that. And many times it will be an indication, you know, when people are afraid, it means either things in their heart towards Jesus Christ isn't right, or they love this world still too much. You know, and it is a challenge for all of us. Me and Skola were just talking this week about what heaven will look like and things like that. And obviously, we know some things, but we don't know everything. But what do I want to hold before you? The second thing that I want to hold before you is in Revelation 19. We've got a picture of the coming king and the wedding feast. And it's a lovely and a beautiful picture. And it ends, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And that's not what I'm going to preach on this morning, you know, but those of you who have been recently to a wedding, you know, it's beautiful. I've seen a lot of godly weddings the past maybe you'll allow me to quickly share a joke with you. Maritza always tells it with a big smile. And the one day we were invited to a wedding, and it was there in Cape Town in a place, and I really didn't know how to get there, but eventually we got to the gate, and it was one of these golf estates, and we were really a bit late, and I was in a rush, and I turned down my window and said to the security guard, we are here for a marriage, you know, and the guy just laughed. So it's going to be a wedding and it's going to be a marriage, and it's obviously between Jesus and his church. So that's just something on the lighter note. But the thing is, guys, there's something from our side, and that is the part, the invitation. You know, I believe God and Jesus Christ sent it to all of us. And some people say yes, and some people say no. A bit later in Matthew 25, you all know the parable of the 10 ladies with the lamps with oil, and 5 prepared and they brought extra oil and another 5 didn't, and some of them made it to the wedding and some of them didn't. Okay, so that's something that's important to us. It's something that in the context of the end times and that things, that all of us would be sure that we have that ticket, that we have that invitation. And then, as I'm going to share this morning, there's a lot of people around us who doesn't have it yet. Okay, so that's the 2 points. Just quickly, I want to make. Please go and read. There's a wonderful part in the Shofar newsletter, in the global newsletter. If you don't receive it, please speak to me or Scholar. We can print it to you or email it to you. And there's a nice part on this. So before we go any further, I just want to pray. Father God, I want to thank you for this day, Lord God, that we can be as your children, as your family, Lord God, that we can be family together, Lord God. And Lord, thank you for the good things, Lord God. Thank you for the testimonies that I have heard in the last while, Father God, in our people's lives, Lord God. Thank you for little Aaron's and Krista's baby that were born, Lord God. We thank you for the babies that's on its way, Father God. We want to thank you, Lord God, for the things that we can look forward to, Father God. We look forward, and I want to pray for that, Lord God, when Pastor Sias is here, and the things that's going to happen right then, Lord God, and that it will stir in our hearts, Lord God. And as I'm sharing this morning, Father God, I really trust and pray, Father God, that you'll move something in our hearts, Lord, that it won't be just another Sunday, Lord God, and another sermon, and just another day, Lord God, but that we will really become serious about what you call us to do as a church and as a vision, Father God. And I pray, Lord, Holy Spirit, that you'll minister to all of us, Lord. We want to welcome you here, and we want to say, Father God, that we can do nothing out of our own strength, Lord God, that we so much need to rely on you, Father God. In Jesus' name, amen. So this morning we prayed together, we worshiped together, and now I want to share a few things concerning our vision with you. And I'll have to maybe extend it till next week, because I really want to get it to all. I'll speak a little bit more on strategy in future, but I really want to talk about our vision, you know. We are Shofar Christian Church in Windhoek. We're part of the bigger body of churches. Obviously, we're part of a vision, and I know that most of you by now know what it is about, but I really want to go and dig a little bit into it and just hold it before us again, that we can really just that we can get excited about it. You know, it was interesting, you know. Usually when you step a little bit back and you have a look at things, then it gives you a bit of perspective. And in the same way, when you know going away for a week and a half, it was really a blessing, and I had some nice time there. Maybe Reinald can show you the picture. I bought one picture for you from the Kalahari. It really looks beautiful. It's not that, it's a bit, yeah, I guess you can't see that much. It's maybe a bit not that as bright, but it's really a beautiful picture. I promise I'm not going to speak about farming this morning again. I just thought I'll show it with to you. Now, usually, you know, when we talk about vision, we think about people, about visionaries that has really accomplished something. What's the guy? Jonathan Swift said, vision is the art of seeing things invisible. And many great men and women as well, you know, they've put out their faith, and God showed them something, he anointed them, and they could see into the future. They had a plan. And, you know, I was just sitting this morning, and I quickly think, of someone like, and it's maybe a little bit political, but maybe you'll, some of you might know, in South Africa, the end of the 1980s, beginning of the 1990s, and I don't think he always reserved the credit that he, or gets the credit that he deserved, was the then president, F.W. de Klerk. You know, where he saw there must come change in South Africa, he had it in his heart, and some people called him a traitor, and a lot of people actually did agree with what he did. But that was an example in the politics, you know, someone who had a vision for things to change, things to come, you know. And we all know these days life is a lot better in a place like South Africa politically. You can, if you look in the business world, if you look at the Anton Rupert, I'm going to use the South African examples this morning, or if the big names, the guys from Microsoft, you can have a look. They have a vision to accomplish something. And I really believe I'm privileged, and all of us, to be part of the Shofar vision. And I really honor Pastor Fred, you know, for his leadership and his vision that he has brought to us as a movement. And I believe what we have done, you know, I think we made a lot of mistakes over the time. But I also want to share something on that a little while later. And I also believe that as we move on, you know, God will help us. He doesn't give everything to us always, just as once. You know, when I think back in my own life, I joined Shofar Christian Church about 9 years ago, and my vision for the church, and for myself, and for things around me, if I compare it to, say, 5 years ago, where I was maybe the zone coach of two zones in Stellenbosch, or where I started 2.5 years ago as being the pastor here, or say in 2.5 years' time from now, or 5 years' time, it's usually not the same. And I think for you as families, for individuals, as men, for young people sitting here this morning, you know, in time our vision changes. I believe God adds to it. He will show us more. Sometimes God will put in someone's heart a vision for a long time to come. And that's really wonderful. But I just want to talk us through a little bit through this this morning. And just once again, you know, our vision as a movement is to reach the nations and the generations through disciple making, leadership development, and church planting. So that is the vision that we are part of. That's the vision that we believe. You can go and look in Matthew 28, verse 19-20, and you will see that is what Jesus called us for. Now, I know sometimes we are sitting here this morning, and I know someone, in all respect, said, like, Aaron's, his baby is 3 or 4 days old, they will probably not be here. And some of you, or the husband and the wife is working, you've got small kids. We've got a lot of people in this season of their life, you know. And being part of a vision does take some commitment. It does take some counting the cost, you know. If we come here on a Tuesday morning, 6:15, to intercede, or after a long day's work, if you go to small group, it does take a bit of a sacrifice, you know. But we also aren't going to move forward if we aren't prepared to count that cost and to make that sacrifice. Jesus' vision, I just want to read to you from Matthew 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and the villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest." Now, just looking, just maybe in your imagination, try and see that picture. Jesus ministering there, preaching, looking at the people, looking at the sheep, and really had compassion for them. You know, and as we are sitting here this morning, maybe we aren't yet 500 or 1,000 people, you know. But if we don't believe in the vision that we have, and we don't put a bit of hard work into it as well, you know, we're not going to move forward. You know, I just thought of it this morning. You know, if you go and visit Shofar Stellenbosch, you'll see the whole Stellenbosch isn't in Shofar Church. And that's not the problem. There's lots of many blessed churches in every town, in every city. But Pastor Fred and his team, and it's really, we've got the apostolic team, that's about, I think, 5 or 6 people. We've got our head office. And from there, we've planted churches in South Africa, Namibia, the United Kingdom. And I believe, I really believe, we're going to plant churches in Namibia as well. We've been, Windhoek has been planted, Swakopmund has been planted. I don't know if all of you know yet, the new full-time pastor, Jaco van Rooyen, he arrived about 2 weeks ago. It's really, I'm glad this. They've got a full-time pastor as well. I almost want to say, on the brink of planting church in Otjiwarungu. And the point I want to make is, you know, we don't have to be 500 or 1,000 people to start what we believe in, what our vision is. If you go, as I said, if you go and visit Chapel of Stellenbosch, you'll see they're not 20,000 people. Even they've got so many anointed leaders. Okay? But we have started planting churches, we have made disciples, we have raised leaders. Okay? And that's part of what I'm gonna call you this morning. Of I'm gonna ask you in your heart, you know, if you believe you're called for this vision, and to what degree are you called? Are you willing to lay down something? Are you willing to lay down something that the vision can move forward? If God opens a door and say, plant a church in Gobabis, I'm just using it as an example, will you say, I'll move there, I'll leave my job, my home that I have right now, maybe something like that? That is part of what we must ask ourselves. What are we willing to do? And this is a soft rebuke. I'm not a big rebuke, and I don't want a rebuke from the pulpit. But friends, we need to make an effort to be here at 9:30 to start off with. You know, that's one of that things that we need to get right. Okay? I'm not going to focus too much on that, but that's the small things that we need to have to start and get right. It's not a negotiable thing. Okay, I really will appreciate that. Now, I don't know how many of you I read it in the past week know who Jonas Salk was. Do any of you know? Maybe Lachia, where's our medical student? Okay, I haven't read about this example, but basically he was testing Vikings, or how do you say, for polio, for the disease, you know, and he had tested 200 times, and 200 times he didn't get it right, you know, and I think, but obviously he had a purpose, he had a vision, he wanted to accomplish something, okay, and then after a while, eventually, you know, he got the right thing, he got it right, and it worked. And then someone asked him one day, so Mr. Salk, how does it feel to fail about 199 times? What's your opinion on that? And then he responded and said, I never failed 200 times at anything in my life. My family taught me never to use that word. I simply discovered 200 ways how not to make a vaccine for polio. Okay? So that's another way of thinking. And we all, if we are really honest, you know, then we will know, in terms of church, we need to think a bit out of the box these days, in terms of how to reach people, how to make them come to church. You'll see there's a lot of things for people who aren't very serious about God and about Jesus Christ. It's like a competition for them. There's other places and other things to do. Since I'm in full-time ministry, I never do that anymore. But I remember on a Sunday morning, and I don't say it's necessarily wrong, but me and Maritza, we went to Somerset Mall in South Africa. It was close to our house. And there was, it looked like an ant nest of people walking around. I don't say they're not serious about God, they're not Christians or anything, but there's a lot of competition for the gospel as well. Places that you can be, as I said, if you want to come to intercession on a Tuesday morning, 6 o'clock, it's cold, it's dark, and it does take something. But you know, it's through a lot of prayer and a lot of sacrificing that our vision has moved up to where it is now. And I believe slowly but surely we're really maturing. We've learned a lot about how not to plant church. We've learned a lot about how not to have small group or to do this or to do that. We have that experience. Okay? And I really believe, I was talking to Blanche in this week about the church possible and the doors opening there for us in Otjiwarungu. And I know in my heart, I would send with a easy heart, if I may put it that way, easily 10 of you guys to go and share, to go and preach, because I know your hearts. The Aronser, the Davids, the friends of us that's not here this morning, okay? They are also qualified to go, okay? And I believe we're going to see it come. We really are going to see it come. Now, there's something different. Maybe I'm going to use a sport example. If you've got a lot of finances in your hand, if you've got a lot of money these days in soccer or rugby, you can buy players, make a franchise, you can train, you can have a vision, and things will probably work out. You've seen it all around. Players get bought for amazing amount of sums of money. Okay? But in the kingdom, we can't say we've got this amount of money, we'll do a little bit of hard work, and it will just happen like this. There's things like prayer, there's things like faith. You know, if I just think off by heart to someone like a Moses, if he led the nation of Israel, okay? But if you were an American person, and you know, if you go and look at the election in America, it's a very thing where finances play a big role, and the person's character, and the person's abilities. Now, a Moses that said to God, God, I stutter, I don't speak well, okay? What would the reader polls look like for a Moses? Would the people say, we want Moses? Maybe not, okay? Just on face value, okay? But God does it differently. He chose him. A Paul that persecuted the church, I mean, he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament later. A King David that was anointed while he was still a youthful person. Many things that God does. A Noah that built the ark in the desert. I mean, it doesn't make sense, but that's how God chose it. A Joseph that was in jail, okay? And later, he became the second most powerful man in Egypt. We can't look with natural eyes to spiritual things, okay? God has a way of moving, of adding, of doing things, okay? We do need to do our part. We need to intercede and pray and have our faith, okay? So I want to encourage us this morning. As I say, for various reasons, some of our friends might not be here this morning, but don't look at what you just see with your eyes, okay? Because if you were to do that, and someone might have told our friend Jonas Salk and said, it's impossible to invent something like that. Think of telephones, everything in life. You need some visionary to go forward, and then people to buy into that. Okay? And I want to ask you this morning, and that's where I'm probably going to end off with, is where, how much do you buy into the vision? How much are you willing to lay down for the vision and with the vision? And I believe it's not just a vision that in an academic way we thought of and invented. It's really what was in Pastor Fred's heart. We believe God has showed us, and God has blessed us. I think we are currently 22 or 3 churches that has been planted. And although we have offended people, we made mistakes, some closes that were open, churches that were planted were closed again, some marriages with other churches didn't work, some partnerships didn't work, okay? But if we don't try, we'll never know. If we don't put our faith, it's never going to happen. That's why I'm using this example about someone that has, for a lot of times, haven't got something right. And I want to use that example for us as well. Some things we haven't got right here. Okay? We're definitely far from perfect. We're definitely far from certain things. Can we get there? Yes. Are we there currently in all the places we want to be? No. Okay? But I believe in you guys sitting here this morning, and that's why I can go away and have people like Paul and David and many other guys possibly. Unfortunately, we don't allow 10 people to preach. It won't work. But God has blessed us with a lot of precious people. Okay. So I really believe that another thing that I read it this week, Pastor said, if your vision can be accomplished in your lifetime without God's help, and with your current budget, then it's way too small. Okay? So we must ask ourselves, if I tell you this morning, our vision in terms of the bigger shofar picture, in terms of the biblical vision that Jesus Christ gave us and the commandment that he gave us, is to reach Namibia. Then you're gonna tell me, Pastor, what does our finances look like? How many sheep do we have? How many leaders do we have? Okay? And on paper it might be a not such a rooskleurige prentjie in that terms, okay? But that was when God told Noah, build the ark. People laughed at him. It sounded like the most stupid thing to do, okay? And I want to tell you, I believe that together with our friends and brothers in Swakop, you know, that we can be, in a few years' time, 20 churches in Namibia, okay? Not that we can say, Shofar Orange, we're on the map, we are grand, we got something right. That as I used the example about prayer a while ago, that God can be glorified, you know, that more people can be invited to the wedding feast, okay? And I believe every one of us has got a role to play, whether it's in the worship team, the ushers, the Bible school, the small groups, there's a place for every one of us. And that's why I honor Pastor Fred as much. You know, the one day I remember in a small group context, he said, you know, he's not more important than a person sitting at the back and interceding for the service. You know, he's got a function in the church. And all of us got a function. And I want us to get a bit more serious about that. And that's why I want to ask you, friends, church starts at 9:30. Please be here then. Okay? I'm not going to get out a stick and this and that. It's not about that. But we will have to start to get that things right. Do you agree with me? Okay. So, I want to ask you, how big is your vision this morning? Do you think about Namibia? Do you think about Africa? Okay? I believe that in my heart, we can really, there's still lots of people in Windhoek that we haven't reached. We've started with the evangelism. I don't know where Marius hides it as at currently, but he's got a 2x2 meter cross. He's in Swakop this today that he walks around with. And you can ask Paul and his friends. They get a lot of attention. Okay? And we get a lot of testimonies. Okay? There is good things happening in that regard. Now, as I said, Namibia to the north and the south and the east and the west. I want to see that in a few years' time. That's part of my heart. That I want, and maybe, as I said, if you put the natural glasses on this morning, it kind of you're gonna say maybe Pastor, good luck, okay? But I want to see that in a few years' time, when church business are discussed in Namibia, when people talk about churches, that we will be on the map. As I said, not that we can say we are this or grand or this or we can do something right, because we'll never be perfect, okay? Until Jesus Christ comes back. But I want. If you go and ask about Namibia, if you travel to the north or to many places, people will say, shofar what? You know? And that's fine for now. Okay? That's fine. We are where we are. I always tell people when they come to me and say, I feel like this, Pastor. And I tell them, it's valid. You may feel like that. But don't feel like that forever. Maybe you're angry. Okay? Then I'll tell you, it's fine. If you're angry because of this or that, I can't tell you you can't feel like that. Because it's your emotions. It's your feelings. But I can tell you, work through it in this and this and that way, and then maybe tomorrow, please don't feel like that anymore. Okay? We have to move forward in that regard. And so I want to see us to be a growing, healthy, happy family church, where we have an outward focus and inward care. You know? That we will not be, and I like it so much when I hear these people at the bride together, or those people visit that people. You know, it's not because I say so, but we can become more of a family, okay? And if you're a family, you visit your family, okay? It's stuff in our hearts. We can't have a church life and then another life, okay? Are you a working Christian or a Christian that has a work? You know, that type of thing. I hope it makes sense, okay? We have to decide what is first and foremost in our life. If I ask you, for instance, obviously, if I feel it in my heart and it's in agreement with leadership, Gustav, will you plant the church in Otjiwarungu? Okay? Then you mustn't go and make calculations, no offense, make calculations and think, do I like the weather there? It's maybe not as cold, maybe it's a bit more bush, this and that. Okay? Then it must be in your heart. Are you willing to sacrifice for this vision? Okay, so I really want us, I'm going to talk a bit more about it. I'll next week probably, if that's where the Holy Spirit leads us, I'll talk a bit more on strategy, you know, on that, I believe, or understand it, how we achieve our goals. How do we do it? And there's some hard work for us. I really believe there is some hard work. I don't know why, but currently we're in a leadership sowing place. You know, our elders, Francois, and our previous elders, maybe Francois and Dr. Pang and I haven't offended them. They moved to Mossel Bay and to Zimbabwe. You all know their hearts. Francois, by the way, will probably come and preach here in the next month and a half. He really misses you guys. But the moral of the story is, you know, I believe we really can, as a vision, move forward. And I really believe that there's the quality of people that God has added to us to be able to move forward. I really want to see our evangelism that we are busy with, that it can grow. I want to see our Bible school become bigger and better. Okay? I want people to join church because they enjoy Kiddies Church. Or people that can maybe come to church just because they heard the worship is great. Okay? But that is going to take some effort from our side, from all of us. Do you agree with me this morning? Okay. And of course, let me just turn my paper. I believe God can talk to us in the week as well. That's why I put some things on paper. And then, first and foremost, you know, or maybe last but not least, you know, that people will join our church because of the Christians we are, of the people that serves Christ. You know, if someone is in need, whatever type of need it is, that they will know and can tell a friend, I know about that church, and they really do care. They really want to make a difference. I want to trust God that we can be financially stronger. Not just to have a good bank account, but you know what? If you read the newspapers the past week when it was so cold on Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Thursday, you know, 5 people died of verklemming. What do you call it? Help me. If you verklem, hypothermia or whatever. Anyway, if you die when you get too cold, people in Kitmanshoop, an older family, husband and wife sleeping in a car, empty car, and you know, they died of cold. That's not the way to die when you're 72 years old. You know, I want to see that when flats or something burned down, that we can be ready to help people. Okay, I want to see that type of things, and I believe that it's stuff that we can trust God for, that we can pray for. You know, we don't just want to go and do our own thing. I want to be part of our biggest show for vision and about what God has called us to do, to go and to make disciples. Okay, and that we can really serve our city. People like Lachia, you are excited about Prochorus, like community development, about Kipwe Kids. If you go and read on our website, you'll see, I think in the whole show for family, we've got about 3 the Kipwe Kids running currently, where, you know, we really look after the AIDS orphans. But you need hands and you need finances. And in Windhoek, there's a big need in the whole of Namibia. Our HIV/AIDS percentage is much higher than South Africa. There's a lot of work like that we can do, okay? But for now, we can't overextend our human resources or others. But we must have the faith to grow to those places where we can help people. I want us to see, we wanted to start it this year, but it's unfortunately up till now not going to happen. Things like parenting courses or divorce care, you know? We need people to run those type of ministries. And I want us in future to be a church where we can cater for that type of things, where we can minister to people with that needs. And as I said, that's why I started off just mentioning that wedding feast. You know, you shouldn't lie awake at night about when Jesus is coming back and about what you might lose or if you're not prepared or stuff. I want us to go out there and on Jesus' behalf invite people to the wedding feast. It will be wonderful. Okay? That's the work that we should do. You know, guys, from my heart, I never want to chase numbers. I would rather have 10 good disciples than 20 people to have a crowd. I really want us to get these things right. That we don't just chase things like that. I really trust that we should cry out for God's guidance and God's help to help us through seasons. I had a wonderful word actually from Pastor Sias randomly a week or two ago in an email. He just told me, you know, that we should be faithful in the season that we are in. And just before church started, I was talking with to someone, and that person said this and this and that, those breakthroughs we had recently. And it's wonderful. That's the type of things that we want to hear. And, you know, I don't want to lead alone. I trust we are a body of Christ. I don't want to do I can't obviously do the worship and the Bible school and the this and the that. I believe God has called us, the way God planned church is to work in terms of a body. Okay? And I want to say thank you to you guys. I know some people are doing currently the kiddies church. And some people has prepared the coffee and the tea. Some has done the worship. There's a part for all of us. And I want to start ending off this morning. And I want to ask you, how serious are you about our vision? Because I remember looking back in my life in church. There was a time that I got born again, baptized, and I started growing. And some things were close to my heart. It was of concern to me. You know, but a lot of things weren't. And I want to ask you, do you pray for our vision? Are you willing to pray for that? Or maybe even to fast if necessary. Okay? If God lays it on your heart. So I wanna ask Wari and Harry if you can come to the front, maybe just make us play on the keyboard for us. I wanna give us some time to reflect this morning on what I'm talking about. I wanna ask you guys, how serious are you about this? And that's why I believe I wanna hold more vision before us. As I said, next week I'll probably share a bit more on strategy. There's things that we need to improve on. There's things that we start to need to do better. Okay? But as Harry are starting to play, I want to ask you just for a moment, just where you're sitting, just close your eyes, and I want to ask you a question or two. And just in your heart, I'm not going to ask you to stand up or show your hands this morning or anything like that. But I've got a question or two that I believe I want to ask you. And I want to ask you this morning, what are you willing to lay down for Christ? In terms of our vision, of about working hard, about doing that type of things. And I want to ask you, secondly, have you prayed and asked God, where do you fit in this vision? What has God called you to do? Maybe He has given you a gift. Maybe He has given you something, and up till now, you especially in big churches this happened, where you might think, but maybe someone else is doing it, it's okay. It's actually a good thing that we're just a few people this morning. Okay? Then it's not that easy to hide in the numbers. But there is a lot of things happening on a Sunday. And I want to ask you, I want to challenge you. Go to God and ask Him to show you where do you fit in this vision. Maybe God wants you to be a pastor one day. Maybe He wants you to be a small group facilitator. Maybe He wants you to be a spiritual father to someone. So I'm just going to give you a few moments. Just as we are all quiet now, just ask God if you want to. Where do you fit in this vision? How serious you are about it? Thank you.
Father God, I want to thank you for this morning, Father God. And Lord, I really trust that you've been speaking to our hearts, Lord, that you've been ministering to us, Father God. And Father, thank you that you called us to be partakers and not spectators, Father God. That you want to use us in your kingdom, Father God. That every person is called, Lord God, whether it's to pray or to preach, Lord God. That all of us have something to give, Lord. And I thank you for that. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful way that you created the body of Christ, Lord. That there's a place for everyone, Father God. And I want to pray, Lord God, and I want to ask, as we are sitting here this morning, Father God, that we will be serious about our vision, Lord God, and what you have given to us, Lord God. And Father God, that you will... Yes, Lord, that you will stir it in our hearts, Lord God, that we want to be people that invite people to the wedding feast of Jesus Christ, Lord God, for the bride to be prepared, Lord God, that we will have it in our hearts, Lord God, to see 20 churches planted in Namibia, to reach the north and the south and the east and the west of this beautiful country that you have. And you have given us beautiful people, Father God. And I know, Lord, that the devil is stealing from us, Lord God. There's many people that has got no hope, that is in despair, Lord, that feel they are broken, Lord God, and bad things has happened to them, Lord God, and who hasn't heard the good news about Jesus Christ, about the gospel, Father God. And I know, Lord God, as there's people this morning even that feel if they want to jump from the bridge, there's nothing more to live for. Father, and I pray, Lord God, that we'll extend our vision, Lord, that you'll help us and guide us in that, Lord, to reach that people, Father, to reach the lost. That picture that I have in my heart, in my spirit, where Jesus was standing and he had compassion for the people because they were scattered, Lord. We can just read the newspapers and we'll see how many brokenness there is in this beautiful country of ours. And I pray, Lord God, that we can get our things together. Holy Spirit, that you will touch our hearts, that you will lead us. Thank you that we know that we are already called, Lord God. And Father, that we will pull our weight, Lord God, that we'll give our, yes, Lord, that we will give our everything, Lord God, in seeing that what we believe in, what we read in Scripture, Lord God, to meet that goal, Father God. I pray it in Jesus' name, Lord, and I thank you, Lord God, for what you have given us already, Lord God. In Jesus' name, amen. If there's anyone of the church and you feel you want to talk to me about vision or share anything, you're more than welcome. If there's anyone this morning and you feel you need prayer, you need maybe you want to pray with me about something, I will be here. You're more than welcome. I'm just going to give to Blanche. She's got something on her heart that she wants to share with you guys. And afterward, please join us for some coffee or something to drink and have some fellowship. Thank you.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. I'm so happy that Pastor was preaching about our church vision. And the first thing is, it is to go out and make disciples of all the nations. And we already have started, a group of us have started the evangelism already in our church here in Windhoek. And as they always also announce it, me and Marius, we are the leaders of that group. And we are not really too many people, but we are trying our best to go out on Saturday mornings, and we don't take really much, we will not take much of your time. It's only from 11 maybe to 1 o'clock. It depends on how the Holy Spirit lead us. And people to go out and share the gospel or the goodness of the Lord with the people is not something very difficult. You as a person, if you sit and think about it, then you will think it's something very difficult, because most of the time some people refuse to listen, some people don't want to see you, but there are people who God has already prepared for that day. It is something which we are not doing out of our own flesh, but when we go out, then we know where to go. God, the Holy Spirit is just telling you, go and talk to that person, and you will not believe people. The people are hungry. People don't know Jesus. And it is our responsibility to introduce God to people. Many times we meet people who will tell you, I don't know who God is. Is it not really bad? Many people will tell you, I just heard about him. It's really, I don't know. I really feel very bad if I meet people who really don't know Jesus by this time. Because these are the last days. And everyone should know Jesus. Last few weeks we already started. We have the group of ladies and the group of the men. But me and Marius has decided, okay, let's just make one big group so that we can see how far we go, and in future we will decide how to distribute ourselves. Now for the last 2 weeks we were out with the cross, and it's so amazing, people, what we experience. And God is there. The Holy Spirit is just telling you what to say. He just laid His word on your heart. It's something very good we can do. Last week we were only four, and the devil was just telling us not to go out, to go out, but something just tell me, let's go. And we went to Klein Venduk, and seven people gave their souls to God. Although we don't see the people in church on Sundays, we are still working on it. And you will see, they will come in one by one. We normally take their contact numbers, their cell numbers, and we are in contact with them, and we believe that they will come in. And in future, we are also planning maybe to go out with slice of bread or a hot dog, because we also meet some people who are really hungry, who don't have food. And you can't just come and talk to a person who is hungry and introduce Jesus to a person and maybe send the person back and something like that. So we are also planning to provide them with something, especially if the Holy Spirit lead us, not to everyone in the street, but if the Holy Spirit tell us this person is also hungry physically, then we can give that to that person. So this is just, I just want to encourage us to stand up and join us. Yesterday we couldn't go because we had school, and Marius was also in Swakopmund. But every Saturdays we are coming here together at church from 11 o'clock, and we are going out to the suburbs in Venduk. So please, the invitation is very free. It's open, and Pastor also already encourages us what the vision is of our church. And if we are part of Sofa Christian Church, let's do it. That's why we are here. Amen.
Thank you, Blanche. So the rest of you guys, you must have a wonderful wonderful Sunday. Enjoy the rest of the day. Hope to see you here next week. If you've got anything on your heart that you want to share with me, please do so. I'll be here. Enjoy the day. Amen. I